My friends have arrived. Well, good morning, family. Yes, it is a good morning. We are all here together for the Feast of Pentecost, and I have left my glasses somewhere. Oh, well, don't worry about it. Well, it's good to see all of you. It is good to see that many of you have made it over that weren't with us yesterday. Well, family, here we are on the Feast of Pentecost. It's a very special day for us. It's a very special day for God and God's people as well, alike. Now, each one of us who have been baptized, we were given a very special invitation by God. We were called by God from many walks of life, from wherever we were when God got our attention. God began to work with us. He began to introduce some things about Him to us. And many of us probably had questions about God and God's laws and what they mean. We may have even had questions about sin. Nonetheless, you took advantage and you answered the call. Now, due to the fact that we're all here, we know that God had to draw each of us here for us to be here. So when God drew us, He was pulling us towards His way of life. Now, what we were going to do with it was going to be something altogether different. And yet, God's purpose and intent was for us to be a part of our family. So God drew us to His Son. John 6:44, we remember that no one can come to Jesus Christ unless God, who sent Jesus Christ, draws that individual. And so once we were drawn to Jesus Christ, we began to learn some things that Christ would have us to know and have us to learn. And one of those things we began to learn about was sin, what it was, and how it affected God. And so as Jesus Christ began to share that knowledge and understanding with us through His ministry, through a Bible study, however we became in contact with the church, we began to learn what sin was. And after we learned about sin, then we also learned that we had to repent of our sins. And once we repented of those sins, then we were given the opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. And that wasn't the last part of it. Because in accepting Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, then that means we were ready to be baptized. We were ready to be baptized. And that still wasn't the end. Because now, after baptism, we had the laying on of hands. We had the laying on of hands, and a prayer was prayed over us, asking that God would give us of His Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit. Now, Acts 2 and verse 37. Acts 2 and verse 37. Well, let's start in verse 38. We see here is Peter telling the multitude the same thing I just said to you. He says, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive a gift." Now, Peter refers to this Holy Spirit as a gift from God. He says, "For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call." Every one of us in this room at that calling, and we answered that calling, and we have been faithful to stay with that calling, and God is pleased with us for doing so. This morning, family, we want to talk about the connecting link. And that's the title for the sermon this morning, the connecting link. The connecting link that I'm talking about here is God's Holy Spirit. This is God's Holy Spirit. Now, I know, we all know that we have God's Holy Spirit. We know this. But have we forgotten what that Spirit does for us? Let's ponder on it for a moment. Have we forgotten what God's Holy Spirit does for us? Well, one of the first things we want to do is we want to disclaim the fact that the Holy Spirit is not a man. It's not a being. It's not another entity. It's not part of a triangle. Go now to Acts 2 and verse 1. Acts 2 and verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. Kind of like what these fans are doing up here for me right now. Some rushing mighty wind. So this is not a man. This is not a being. Family, this is the power of God. And said it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one set upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues, in other words, in other languages. And as the Spirit gave them utterance, in other words, the power to speak. Acts 1 and verse 8. Acts 1 and verse 8. Peter goes on to say, but you shall receive the power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and to all of the earth. So, this great power, this gift that was given to them, and that great gift that was given to all of us, is the power of God. And this power of God is what sets us apart and makes us different. Because it is the actual connection between us and God. I'd like to give you a little illustration here. I have a little puzzle. It's not a Houdini chain or anything like that. It's a puzzle. And this particular puzzle, it's two horseshoes. And both horseshoes are connected by a chain to each other. Now, as I mentioned, the Holy Spirit is not another being or another entity. So what we have to do is we have to disprove the understanding of the world, and we have to get rid of that little ring because it's not a part of the equation. This is us and God. And by His Holy Spirit, we're connected. We're connected. And this connection provides that conduit or that portal between us and God. Now, beforehand, there was no connection because God was drawing us to His Father. He was pulling us along. So there was no connection. He was drawing us to His Son. He was introducing us to His way of life. But family, you and I have a very unique connection to God. And that connection is by way of His Holy Spirit. That same connection is a common thread that flows between each of us sitting in this room. You know, we may all be different in shapes and sizes. We may all be different in the way we think. But we have one common reality. And that is, we are all connected to the Father. And that connection is by way of His Holy Spirit. And that connection has drawn us together as family. When we sit down and we talk, it's interesting. We talk about the Word of God, the family of God. We're on the same plane. We have the same language. We have the same understanding. Why? Because we have that Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit, that free gift that God has given to each one of us. Now, what does that gift do for you and me? And how are we using that gift today? And most importantly of all, in the midst of all that we go through, Have we forgotten that we have that gift? Now, I don't want to answer no to that question because in preparing this message, I had to challenge myself to remembering, to looking back, to understanding. When I look at my walk in life and I go back and I kind of divide my life up. On this side of the road, I was walking along with God. On this side of the road, I was walking by myself. But I was supposed to be over here. But you see, I did it my way. There was an old song that was out years past. Any of you that are 40 plus older, you will remember that song. I did it my way. And I can tell in my life the things I did my way. And I'm quite sure you can look in your lives and say the same thing. You can say, oh, yeah. God was there, but I wasn't with him because I did this my way. Let's talk about what the gift of the Holy Spirit does for us. Join me, if you will, 1 Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians 2. And let's keep in mind every step of the way that the connecting link between us and God is his Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2. Let's go to verse 2. And brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech and wisdom in declaring to you the testimonies of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ, who was crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear, much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in wisdom of men, but in the power of God. The Holy Spirit giving us spiritual wisdom. Do we lack wisdom? You know, I, 2 weeks ago, had to be with the family to bury my sister. On the morning of her funeral, my niece came to me and says, I would like for you to speak on behalf of the family. I said, no, go after my older brother. Get him to do it. She said, well, he won't do it. I said, then go to my older sister. Get her to do it. She says, nope, she won't do it either. I said, then go to your brothers and get them to do it. She says, nope, they won't do it either. So in my mind, I'm thinking, my sister and her husband were a part of a ministry. Her husband was a minister, and they are with a very strong, devout Baptist church. And you want me to stand before all these Baptist people and tell them what? And so, of course, here's what God's Holy Spirit does if we utilize it. I just ask God what to say. And so as the crowd began to gather, and people coming in, the music started, everything was very nice. And then there were five ministers standing up behind the lectern. Each one of them got up to give their little spiel, give their little speech. And then who's bringing up the rear? Now, what do you imagine that I'm going to say to these people? Do you think I'm going to stand there and say, well, everything that he said is all wrong? Now, let me give you the truth. You see, that's not what God's wisdom does. That's not what the Holy Spirit does. And I would have to say this was the shortest message I have ever given in my life. And the message went like this. You know, I was thinking about my sister, my family. But most importantly of all, I was thinking about Job. Job asked a very profound question. He said, if a man dies, will he live again? And then the whole congregation was, yeah. And I found the answer, and I want to share that with you. The answer is in the last book of Revelation. It says, there'll be a resurrection. So when I thought about that, she died. She'll live again. So I didn't come to say, goodbye, sis. I came to say, hey, I'll see you later. That was the end of the message. That's what God's wisdom does. Not to cause offense to other people because of what they believe. See, we have to be careful, and we got to be careful in what we say around and in front of others because we don't want to cause offense. And it was amazing as I looked up and listened to those that were going up for the last viewing saying to my sister, "Hey, I'll see you later. I'll see you later." God's Holy Spirit within us, if we use it, will give us the spiritual wisdom that we need. And we have to ask God for that wisdom. Verse 6, however we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God. That's what God's Holy Spirit does for you and me. It allows us to speak the wisdom of God. Verse 9, eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which are God has been prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit. And the only way that God can reveal these things to us through his Holy Spirit, family, is, I'm going to keep drawing on this analogy because this is the connecting link between us and God. His Holy Spirit. And we need that connection. We have to have that connection. You know, when we all came up here on Friday, we found out that we had no cell phone usage. We were disconnected from the world. But you know what? God's Holy Spirit was here. And we still are connected. And we will stay connected to his Holy Spirit. He says, but God has revealed them to us through his Holy Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. In order for us to understand God and know the things of God, we have to be connected with God. For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of man which is in him? You know, my daughter wanted to be a chef, so we sent her down to Sullivan University to go to college to become a chef. Now, she had to learn the things of a master chef. And as she began to learn the things of the master chef, she began to understand the thoughts behind his creations, behind all of his thoughts. And he wrote those things down in a recipe. And she still, to this day, have those recipes. We today still have the Word of God before us. But are we utilizing God's Word in order to guide and direct us on a daily basis? Are we utilizing God's word to stay connected? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. You know, if I can use this analogy, that recipe, his word, the essence of God that flows from us to him and him to us. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit that comes from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. God wants us to know him. He wants us to live by his ways. He wants us to walk in obedience to his word. And he has given us the means to be able to do so. And that means is by way of the connecting link. God's Holy Spirit. And if you see, every time I put this up here, these horseshoes never separate themselves from each other. They're still connected. When they're lying down, they're still connected. If I turn it on the side, it's still going to be connected. And that, family, is how we have to be. And that's how we have to use God's Holy Spirit, staying connected with it so he's connected with us. Verse 13, these things we also speak, not in words, which man's wisdom teaches, but with the Holy Spirit and what it teaches. Comparing spiritual things with the spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God because he sees these things as foolishness. Us being here today would seem to be foolish to some others. But we are here because of what this day means as first fruits of Jesus Christ. We are here because of the fact that he has invited us to be here. He has instructed us to be here, and he has something to give us. He has freely given us of his Holy Spirit. Now, they think it's foolishness because they are not spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritually judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? We, family, have the mind of Jesus Christ. Now, you have those moments in life when you're constantly trying to understand why your neighbor or your loved one doesn't understand these scriptures. You can sit with them and you can go through a scripture and they will look at this and say, well, I don't get the same thing you get out of this. Where do you see this? And then you're puzzled and frustrated, like, you know, Satan really has them blinded. They can't see this. And you know what, family? Let's stop right there for a minute. And let's turn this around for a second. We're thinking and we're trying to understand why they don't get it. No, the real question, family, is why don't we get it? What are we missing? Sometimes we want to give Satan too much credit for the things that are of God. If they are not getting it, it's because God is not giving them the understanding. So why do we ask the question, or why do we make the statement about them being blinded? Because God has blinded them. They have rejected God. And so why would God give them something that they're not going to use? They don't have the connection. They don't have God's Holy Spirit. They don't have the ability to be able to discern the wisdom of God, nor the understanding of God, because they're not connected with God. You and me, we're connected by the connecting links of his Holy Spirit. And this is important to us. And so we have to be careful that when we have someone that doesn't understand the scriptures, be patient with them. And let us have the understanding ourselves to know that God has not given them the knowledge and the understanding that he has given us. So what we have to do is we have to be careful of what we say and what we do and how we treat them. Because judgment is where? You and me. We have God's Holy Spirit, so we know how to do things the right way. What else can this Holy Spirit do for us? Acts 10 and verse 38, we see where God anointed Jesus Christ with the Holy Spirit and the power, who went out doing good and healing to all who were oppressed by the devil. And God, in that same process, was with him. Family, God has given us of his Holy Spirit, and he is with you and me today. No matter what we do, no matter where we go, no matter what situations we have found ourselves in, you have a power within you. And that power gives you the ability to do something that others can't do. It gives you the ability to rise up in your situations. That's what the power of God's Holy Spirit does. Now, I could have kind of easily said, you know, family, you know, that power, here's what it does for you and me. But when I say this power that God has given you and me gives us the ability to rise up when we're down, to trust and believe in him, because he said he would never leave us, he would never forsake us. He is giving us, family, what we need in order to succeed every day. But the question is, are we using that power that he gives us? 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7, you don't have to turn there, because here's something that God did not give us. Fear. And many times we run in fear. We run in doubt, but that didn't come from God. Now that one you can blame on our adversary for influencing our thinking. But God did not give that to us. Let's go over to Psalm 51. Let's understand something from David's perspective. Psalm 51. Now, David has sinned, and we all know the sins that David committed. But let's go back and let's read Psalm 51. Starting in verse 1, he says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies." He says, "Blot out my transgressions." You see, David, like Mr. White was bringing out yesterday, he went into hiding for a minute, but he came out. And when he came out, he says, "Okay, here it is. You know, God, I need you. I need your help." He says, "Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. And against you and you only have I sinned and done evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts." He desires truth, as David says. And this is what David is saying. He's confessing to God here what he has done. "And in the hidden part, you will make me to know wisdom." How did David know wisdom? "Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness again, that the bones that you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins." This is what we want God to do. We don't want to hide from God, but we do want God to hide his face from our sins. And he says, "Blot out all of my iniquities." And here we go. "Create in me a clean heart and renew a steadfast spirit within me." David knew through the sins that he had committed and through the trials that were before him, he could go to God and he can ask God for forgiveness and he can ask God for help. And he asked God for a clean heart and a steadfast spirit. He says, "God, don't cast me out of your presence." And family, that's not what we want. We do not want to be cast out of his presence. And most surely of all, please, Lord, do not take your Holy Spirit away from me. David knew the importance of having God's guidance and direction. David knew the importance of having the wisdom of God. He made a mistake. And just like many of us, we make mistakes. We sin. We fall down. But that Holy Spirit shows us how to get back up. He says, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with your righteous and generous spirit." And when you do that, he says, "Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you." Don't take your Holy Spirit away from me. And this is what our attitude should be. When we have made mistakes, we get back up. Don't go hiding from God. You can't hide from God. There's no place for you to hide. You can't find a little cave and say, "You'll never find me here." And then all of a sudden, bling, light comes on. There you are. We can't hide from God. So what we want to do is run to him and ask for his forgiveness. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 19. Don't turn there. It's just one scripture. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not quench the Spirit. Why would you do that? Because of guilt, because of shame. And we feel that God has separated himself from us. Family, that's not his purpose. He gave us his Holy Spirit. He gave us the connection that we needed to stay connected with him. God wants us to stay connected. So you don't quench it. You don't put it out. You don't terminate God's Holy Spirit. You don't rebel against God's Holy Spirit. Because God is here to help us along and to show us the way, to show us the things that we need to see, to help us to overcome, to give us the strength, the power, and the might, and the will to get up and to go on, trusting, believing, and knowing that he is going to continue to make a way for us, knowing that he is not going to keep dangling our sins in our faces when others do. You know, when we make a mistake, there's somebody that always wants to bring that up. "Oh, I remember when you did such and such." Well, you know what? We don't have to worry about that with God. Because he says, "I will remove your sins as far as the east is from the west." And I will bring them up no more. Why? Because you've brought them to me. You asked for forgiveness and I have forgiven you. Do we think that God forgave David? Well, absolutely, he did. He did forgive David and he's going to forgive us as well. Romans 8. Romans 8 and verse 5. Romans 8 and verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. This is what we have through the Holy Spirit. We have life and we have peace. Because the carnal mind is hostile against God, for is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. They can't please God, family, because there's no connection. But we have that connection. We are connected with God. And we have a power and an ability that they don't have. It's not because we're better than they are. It's because God has chosen us, and we have not rejected him. He says, but you are not in the flesh, but in spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God, it dwells in you. That Spirit of God dwells in you. That was given to us after we were baptized. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. Now we're talking about the Spirit of Christ. If we don't have his Spirit, then we're not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit of life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he will raise Christ from the dead, and he will also give life to your mortal bodies. His Spirit who dwells in you, the sonship through the Spirit of God. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But the Spirit, but if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, those are the sons of God. For you do not receive the spirit of bondage, and again the spirit of fear, but you receive the spirit of a sonship. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Our spirit bears with his spirit, the connecting link. 1 Corinthians 8. 1 Corinthians 8 and verse 6. The world, family, has many gods. But you and I, verse 6 says, yet for us there is only one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we are for him. And one Lord, Jesus Christ, through him are all things, and through him we live. We live. That spirit that God gives us after baptism, it keeps us connected to God. We never want to be disconnected from God. We don't want to quench that spirit. We don't want to put that spirit out. We don't want to terminate that spirit. Think back about how your life was before God gave you his Holy Spirit. You were in darkness. We were in darkness like the rest of the world. But God has brought us into the light and into understanding. And so with that light and understanding gives us life. It gives us hope. In the midst of our darkest moments, we can look up to the heavens and cry out to God, and he will answer us. And through his Holy Spirit, he will guide and direct us. Those little voices within our head, people might think, okay, this old boy is one taco short of a Fiesta plate. That's the way it is. But you see, they don't understand that connecting spirit that you have. They don't understand your walk. They don't understand the power that God gives you. You know, The Wizard of Oz. Y'all make fun of me. It's one of my favorite movies when I was a kid growing up. I enjoyed The Wizard of Oz. But it was always interesting to me that at the end, all the time, the Tin Man had a heart, the Lion had courage, and the Scarecrow had a brain. They just didn't enact on it. They didn't use it. And here, poor Dorothy, going through all the stuff that she went through, all alone, had the ability to go home. And all she had to do was click her heels 3 times. That was it. Family, all we have to do is stay connected with God. We have within us the abilities to think, to rationalize, to understand God's word. He wants us to understand his word. That's why he gives us his Holy Spirit. He wants us to know the things of him. He gives us his Holy Spirit. He wants us to understand that when we're down, I'm there to help you back up. All you have to do is look to the hills from where your help comes from, because that help comes from the Lord. He shows us the ways to get up. He shows us the ways to go on, to keep going, to keep moving. The power within us. We don't have to click our heels. We don't have to ask the questions. If I have a brain, sometimes I wonder about that myself, but we don't have to ask that question. We know because God has given that to us. And we're connected with him. The connecting link between us and God. His Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit. Family, I hope that through this message, you'll be able to learn and see some things that I learned myself. And that is the importance of the blessing that God has given to us. That free, willing gift that he gave. We didn't earn it. We didn't deserve it. But because he loves us, he gave us of his Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit, if we use it, will keep us connected with God, and we will know the things that we are to do. We will know what his will is. Last scripture is Romans 15 and verse 13. Romans 15 and verse 13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit.